The specter of death is often pictured as a faceless figure, cloaked in a black hooded robe and carrying a scythe. But on the Showtime cable network series Dead Like Me, the Grim Reaper might be a meter mate turned policewoman or a glamorous actress, a handsome alcoholic, or an office temp. These Grim Reapers meet every morning at the Waffle House to get their assignments, which are written on yellow post-it notes. They then go off to remove the souls of the living and escort them to their eternal reward.
Read 'em and reap.
Oh my God, I know this guy. I know my reap.
H. Soriano.
Herman. Herm works for Mercury Messengers.
Mercury Messengers. They have that cute commercial.
If you got a package but you got no time, use Mercury and you'll be just fine.
A little early for the Andrews sisters.
Hey, I reaped one of them. I can't remember which one.
Dead Like Me airs Sunday nights. It's in its second season and features, among others, Mandy Patinkin and Jasmine Guy. John Macias is an executive producer on the program, and he's in the studios of NPR West. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
What was the germ of this idea?
The germ of the idea was Brian Fuller's, who created the show, and I think in his mind he was just trying to, you know, come up with his own mythology of the afterlife. And once the mythology was set up, it just became, you know, trying to determine what the rules were, and once those rules were set up, see how we could break them.
Explain the rules.
Well, it's kind of complicated, but in a lot of ways, but it's the whole idea of that there is a group of people called Grim Reapers who do not go on to an afterlife, but kind of stay here and get on Earth and get a second chance. And their job is to take the souls of people that are going to be involved in accidents or horrible deaths before they experience any pain. And at the same time, they have to live a life sort of on the periphery, you know, make a living, take souls, and also have some, you know, semblance of their own lives.
So in other words, Earth is kind of like a purgatory for them.
Yeah, kind of like it is for, you know, most, you know, except they get a second chance. So it's sort of an odd thing. And they also don't know when their lives will be up as Grim Reapers, what their last, you know, reap or post-it will be. And in the case of George, played by Ellen Muth, our protagonist, she also has to deal, and something which I find very interesting, the result of her death and how that has damaged the family that she's left behind.
I'll explain who George is. She's played by actress Ellen Muth. She's an 18-year-old girl, and she was killed by a falling piece. Was it Skylab?
No, it was actually Mir. It was the Russian space station.
And she did have a lot of unresolved issues in her
life.
Yeah,
she was. You know, she was pretty disaffected. She hadn't really done anything with her life. And as Brian wrote at the end of the pilot, death became sort of a wake-up call for her.
Her Reaper name is Millie. What do they have to have different names?
Well, once again, part of the mythology was that you cannot be, that people that know you see you as someone else. And visually, it became sort of off-putting. But yeah, they have identities that are not what they were in their first lifetime, although all their feelings and memories are still the same.
And they need jobs, basically, to survive.
Exactly.
A bit about the mythology. What happens to the souls who don't get reaped?
The souls that don't get reaped unfortunately have to experience the pain of a bad death.
And who are those little gremlin-like characters that keep running around?
Those are the Gravelings. Those are the Three Stooges of death. They are
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Well, you know, in my head, I mean, I have a fond, you know, they're the ones that set the accidents in motion. They're the ones that, you know, would drop the piano or flick the lit cigarette into the manhole where the gas explosion would occur. They are only seen by our Grim Reapers, and they're the one aspect of the show when you look at them that still has sort of a horror to it.
I think it was the dad who ended up choking on a piece of candy from the piñata at his
right.
6-year-old's birthday party, which was particularly disconcerting, so to speak.
Yeah, well, especially for him.
Some of these characters have been dead and reaping for a long time. I mean, you've got this actress, for example, who died in a fire on the set of Gone with the Wind back in 1938. Any indication what they have to do in order to stop being a reaper?
You know what? It's that for them is the great unknown. We have an episode later in the year where one of our characters, they all get yellow Post-its, and one of our characters gets a purple Post-it, and he immediately thinks, this is the last reap. I'm going to have to move on. And he immediately, you know, I mean, he sells all, you know, his things. He, for him, he's like trying to, you know, finalize his life and say his goodbyes. But in reality, all it was that the, you know, Staples was out of yellow Post-its that day.
Why the Post-its anyway?
They stick. They're around. And the information on the Post-its is kind of, I mean, it's also part of, you know, the not the game or the drama for our, you know, our Reapers to only know the first initial and the last name and the place and time that this death is going to take place. So they have to discover and find this person. And by reaping, we call it rippling. On the show, it's, you know, they have to put their hands on them, and there's sort of like a gentle gold glow.
One of the interesting things about this series is actually the chemistry between the Reapers. I mean, they fight with one another, they comfort one another, and the ensemble of actors that you've got going actually conveys that sense of camaraderie. I mean, after all, these characters are all in the same boat, so to speak. How did you audition people? What made you confident that your choices were going to work?
You know, you never know. I mean, if you talk to the actors, I mean, it's an interesting exercise for them. And also a lot of it has to do with the comfort zone that the actors have in who they are in relation to each other. As, you know, as Mandy is the boss and sort of a father figure. And Ellen is the sort of his charge who's challenging him every step of the way.
Mandy Patinkin's character is somebody called Rube. What's
right.
His story? How did he get to be the top Reaper?
We view Rube as middle management. He gets these lists, and he is the one that assigns, you know, gives out the Post-its. And the one thing that does come out is that he died in 1927, and he left a family behind, which he, during the course of this year, he goes to search for his daughter, who's still alive.
You worked on L.A. Law, and you worked on St. Elsewhere. But there's a reference in the first episode that aired this season, an overt one, to another show, Hill Street Blues.
Okay, let's roll. And people! Let's be careful out there.
This is the one where the meter maids and the meter men are leaving the roll call at the precinct house, you know, to the theme from Hill Street Blues after the boss says, be careful out there.
Yeah.
Are you having fun with us?
Yes, ma'am. No, when I was doing St. Elsewhere, Hill Street was, we were in a two-story building on the MTM lot in Studio City in California, and we were downstairs and Hill Street was upstairs. The idea of Jasmine Guy plays Roxy, you know, a meter maid, and the idea that it's tough out there for meter maids, and it was for me in my mind, it was just the whole image of these little meter maid trucks coming out of the garage to Stephen Bochco's show seemed kind of funny to me.
It was very funny.
He thought it was funny, too, by the way.
You created the show Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
Which means you've been dealing in sort of this metaphysical world for a while.
Well, you know, I also did the show Providence, where the mom, you know, kept showing up in her daughter's dreams wearing the same dress that she wore when she died in the wedding for 5 years. But for me, I think this is it for me and death.
John Macias is an executive producer of Dead Like Me, which airs tonight on the Showtime cable network, and he joined us from NPR West. Thanks a lot, John.
My pleasure.